Well, not too bad for a holiday weekend. So y'all did good. Well, it's always good to be here. It's good to see some of you back that going on vacation. Of course, there's a couple more people, family or two, that went on vacation. It's just the way it is. And but you're here today, and our prayers are for them. And so today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 21. I want to talk to you a little bit about sometimes how we just kind of mess up with God. And when we mess up with God, we kind of feel like we're not worthy of anything. We feel like we're just not worth much anymore. We feel like we just like God's not going to use me. I messed up too much. And so we're going to look at this guy named Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. And we're going to look at him and see him with the mess up there that he feels like he's messed up to a point where pretty much there might not be any coming back to a little bit. When Jesus was arrested and getting ready to go through all these little mock trial things and all the scourging and all the whipping and all those things, before that, Peter said that he would fight to the death pretty much for Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you won't. Now, Peter did draw a sword and cut somebody's ear off, but he did flee. Just like the rest of the disciples. But what we see here is Jesus told him that you're going to deny me three times. And when you deny me three times, what's going to happen is a rooster's going to crow. And no, it's not. Well, it does happen. Peter denies Jesus three times. And the scripture tells us that when he heard the rooster crow, that he ran off, found a spot, and he broke down. He wept bitterly. He just had a moment, and he just broke down. He broke down because he knew what he did. Sometimes we, as Christians, we know what we do as believers, and we have those moments where we feel like we failed God. Now, let's be honest. Anybody else besides myself feel like they let God down? I've got two hands, so I'm going to lift up two hands because I think I've let God down more than I really want. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, there's those moments where it's overwhelming. You just don't feel right. You don't feel good about yourself. There's that part there. But I want to share a story with you that God's given to us through John 21. I'm glad that this is in here. I don't see it in the other Gospels, but I do see it in this one. And it is just this restoration for Peter. Because Peter's going to do some amazing things. He just don't know it yet. But there needs to be some restoration going on. I think some of us today need to have that restoration in our lives. But I want to show you what kind of happens when we get into that place where we feel and know that we've kind of let God down. Let's go to John chapter 21. Now, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Here we find in verse 2, we see Simon, we see Thomas, we see Nathanael, we see the two sons of Zebedee, and we see two others of the disciples. We have seven disciples here. Seven disciples. Now, it almost feels like the whole band is starting to fall apart. We had 12. One just committed suicide, hung himself out there on a tree. So they're down to 11. We don't know where the other four is right now, but we know where these seven are right now. And they always stuck together, but now they're not sure what to do. Because remember, it wasn't just Peter who had this mess up, who ran away and denied Jesus. But it was all of them. They all ran away. In verse 3, it says, Simon Peter said to them, He said to the disciples, I am going fishing. Now, we would think that that would be a good thing because I know I like to fish. I know my wife likes to fish. But this is a different type of going fishing. Now, they're physically going to go fishing, but their mind and their spirit, their mind is not in the right place. This is what we have a tendency to do. When we're in the ministry and we kind of mess up, some things happen or whatever, we have a tendency to fall back and go back. So Peter is going to go back to where Jesus found him 3 years ago. Found him fishing. He's going to go back fishing. He says, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you too. We're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Now I want to tell you, when you don't catch nothing, your mind's spinning. I'm sorry, I got to get a drink. Your mind is spinning. I don't know about you, but my allergies are tearing me up. And sorry about that. My mind goes crazy sometimes when I'm not doing nothing. I think it's stupid stuff. Don't you? Sometimes, or am I the only crazy one in the house today? I think sometimes I'm a nut sometimes. It's like, Lord, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Here, how many times, it says they were out there all night. How many times do you think Peter replayed that over and over and over? I denied Jesus, the Son of God. Hearing that rooster crow. I denied Jesus 3 times. Now, some people without a conscience, they don't bother them. No. Most people were yelling, crucify. They were happy. They went home. They were happy. They got their way. These guys went back and still confused because they did see Jesus come back and talk to them for a moment here and there. But there was really no plan. They couldn't catch it right now, so they caught nothing. So I'm telling you, he probably felt discouraged and defeated. Now I know when you feel discouraged and defeated, you feel useless. You feel useless. And you can kind of have a pity party. I believe that can happen. You can be angry with yourself. You're embarrassed, that conviction. But I bet you he probably felt like a big loser. Man, I was walking with the Son of God. Man, I was the one. And I don't think he was just thinking about this. I think he was going back. Man, when they all said Jesus was a ghost walking across the water, man, I got out there for a moment. And I'm a loser there too. Because I started sinking. I just don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm a horrible follower. He left me. He left us all. We were unfit to be disciples. I'll tell you, when we first started New Life Fellowship, we were down on State Street after we got out of the houses. And there was a moment or two I felt like, man, I can't do this. I can't do this. Somebody came up to me and said, your wife isn't going to make it. She's not a pastor's wife. And you're not going to make it. You're a horrible preacher. You don't even know what you're doing up there. And I put my smile on and they left. And how do you think I felt after all that? Get in the car, go home, long drive, don't say a word. What do you think I'm doing at night? Sitting there, putting my head on the bed, on the pillow. And I'm replaying that over and over and over. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And that wasn't the only time in my ministry, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't the only time in my ministry. But what is really awesome about God is this. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. When Jesus comes on the scene, something always happens. When Jesus comes on the scene in your life, something is about to happen. God is not an idol God. Jesus is not an idol. He is a doer, a creator, a maker. So Jesus is on the shore, and the disciples didn't know who he was. I believe when he showed himself to the disciples and other people, it wasn't his face. It's different. They didn't know who he was when they saw him. They didn't know who he was. But the morning came, and Jesus was on the shore. In verse 5, then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" So it was far enough where he could shout that out. And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast the net. Now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved, that be John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, how in the world do you think that's that? Now the Lord can put that in them and to know that. But I think there was a memory to the past when he called them and they were fishing and Jesus told them to throw the net over the side and they got a lot of fish. This was this is happening again. There's only one person that ever told us that, and it happened and it happened again, and that was Jesus himself. And John says, it is Jesus. And he told Peter that. It is the Lord. You see, what's happening is everybody is looking at Peter. John told Peter that it's the Lord. Everybody else heard, but he was looking at Peter. When you're in leadership, people are looking at you. And if you are down in the dumps, they're still looking at you. If they're with you, you're still leading. You're just not leading at your high capability. So if you're down, your group starts to get down. And he says, "It's the Lord." And then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, so he put his garment out, his outer garment, and he plunged into the sea. Now, basically what this is one of those Gump moments. If you ever watch Forrest Gump, when he's got his shrimp boat, and he says, "Lieutenant Dan," he just walks right off the boat and he just sinks. He's just swimming. He didn't care. The boat ran off and went in some other direction. Peter didn't care about where the boat was going. He just jumped in the water. It's the best thing that happened. Night was horrible. The whole evening was bad. And he's swimming. He gets up there and he gets on the shore. But the other disciples came in into the little boat. So they stayed in the boat. Doesn't that also reflect to the last time when Jesus was walking on the water? They all stayed in the boat, but Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water, and then he did sink as he feared the storm. But he took that. Peter was this guy that would just jump right out for the Lord. He would jump right out. That's why he feels so bad about what had happened. And then he comes up, verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish," and they began to have this moment around. This is something that the disciples have been used to. Personal moments with Jesus. And Jesus is going to look at Peter. He says, "When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" Now he's focusing on Peter at this moment. And this is the beginning of being restored. Because what does Jesus really want out of Peter? He called him. He told him, "You're going to be the rock. You're going to be this person. We're going to lead. You're going to lead these guys." And right now, he's leading them back to fishing. But what did Jesus tell him back in Mark? "I will make you fishers of men, not of physical fish." So he wants to get him to that point. Because listen, when there's a calling on your life, you have it. All right? But he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then he says, "Feed my lambs." Now, we're going to look at the lamb, not so much of the word love today, but we're going to look at this thing called the part where the feeding is. "You need to feed my lambs. The lambs are the little ones. You need to get back out there." What he's beginning to restore him right now on, listen, remember what I called you to do. I don't care what ministry that you're a part of. You're going to screw up from time to time. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you're going to mess up. Amen? You may not be in ministry But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you're going to mess up. If you're in your 20s, you're really going to mess up if you're not focused. And that too, if you don't get it right. Jesus could have picked, he could have said, I'm done. Let's get somebody else. You're not cutting it. But Jesus is always this, Jesus is this God that we have that just continues to mold the clay, and we are the clay, and he is the potter, and he keeps working us over and over until he gets what he wants out of us, and he is patient. He is patient. And if he's dealing with me, he's got to be patient. And some of you, if he's dealing with you, you know he's got to be patient. So we have an awesome God that is patient. And he's patient with Peter, and he says, I want you to feed my lambs. That kind of feels good for a second. Until he says this, until Jesus says, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And that love is more of an intense love this time. But he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And there's this thing, it's almost like he's questioning his commitment. He's questioning his love. Do you love me? And he said, tend to my sheep. Now, first we see this part here, feed my lambs. And then we say, tend, he says, tend to my sheep. And there's a part there that's talking about, listen, this is a big picture. If I could wrap it up in one big thing, Jesus is saying, take care of my people, my family, the family. And the family, you have little ones, young believers in your family. We have little ones. We have the teenagers. We have young adults. We have adults. And we have elderly people, right? Nobody's getting left out. Nobody's getting left out in this one. Let me tell you something. If Jesus will call you to something bigger than yourself. It will never be something that you can do on your own. Because if you could do it on your own, do you need Jesus in it? Really? No, he will call you to do something bigger than yourself. He's calling Peter to do something bigger than himself. Tend to my sheep. That's time consuming right there. Feed my lambs is teaching them and disciple them, but to tend to my sheep is a lot more work. It's a lot more work. It's a lot more time consuming. There's a lot more into, you're invested. This is a total commitment now. And he says, do you love me? Because if you do, then you're going to tend to my sheep. You're going to take care and feed my lambs. Young Christians, regardless of their age, young Christians take more time. Amen? They don't know. They heard a story. They're not sure about the story. They don't know. So it takes more time to disciple them. And then he goes in and he says, and he said to him again a third time. Now, let me ask you this, you guys that are married, you wives that are married, I'm just saying, if your spouse says, honey, do you love me? And you're like, yeah, man. Honey, you really love, and it keeps going, you kind of like, yeah, I told you I did. I told you that I do. Why do you keep asking? Because sometimes when we answer, we give it an automatic muscle response. We're just saying, hey, I love you back, and really was no punch into it, no feel. It's just real quick response. Honey, you love me? Yeah, I love you. And then go on. Jesus at this moment was wanting a total commitment. 100%, okay? Setting him back, restoring his life, restoring his ministry. So a third time, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. So Peter was grieved. He was like, what? Why you keep asking? I'm already a mess here. I'm already a mess here, boss. I'm already messed up. My heart's broken. I feel like I'm a failure. And you're asking me again, do I love you? This is all I got. I love you. You know I do. And he asked him a third time. Jesus says, do you love me? Now, I think right now he has Peter's 110% attention. hurt Peter. Sometimes when you're being restored, there's a little hurt. It's okay, right? It's okay. Every one of us have messed up in our walk with Jesus. Every one of us has messed up in our ministry somewhere. And Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And this is what Peter said. And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Let me tell you, this is not a friendship right here. This is bigger than a friendship. How many of y'all have friends that you walked away from? We all have. This is bigger than a friendship. Think about it right now. Your relationship with God right now, is it bigger than a friendship? I hope it is. How many of y'all know? How many is your relationship with Jesus Christ bigger than a friendship? Yeah, it is. This is what's going on here. It's bigger than a friendship. I always tell people this. You can change your friends, but you can't change your family. You can't change your bloodline. So when you have a bloodline, your family, your aunts and uncles and all your relatives, you can't change them. You're stuck together. Good or bad. There's always what we call the black sheep of the family, whatever you want to call it. Peter was kind of feeling like that. Peter and Jesus' relationship was bigger than a friendship. And Jesus' response with this, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now we know that sheep can't live without being fed. He says, "I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to attend to my sheep, protect them. I want you to protect them and guide them, work with them. But when it comes down to, you need to feed them. You need to be involved with them. You need to feed them." And Jesus has another response to that. "Most surely I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And we know that Peter was going to die in persecution for his walk with Jesus. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Go back to the book of Mark. Go back to when Jesus called him to be fishermen. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." Getting him back off, because going back out there fishing was not where they needed to be, but it was where Jesus met them. How many times have you found yourself someplace where you don't really need to be, and God worked your way and got you away from it? Because you ended up there when you were started to fade from the Lord. And what happens is, we kind of mess up a little bit pretty quick right after that, don't we? Sometimes when we glorify God. Then Peter, turning around, and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that being John, was following, who also leaned on the Lord during the supper. And they come down here to verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Now, this is when we get ourselves in trouble. What about this man? I can do this. Well, what about Phil? Lord, what about Phil? What about Bob? What about Mike? Lord, what about them? What about them? Why are you going to be so hard on me? Right? We've done that before. Lord, why do they get this? Why are they getting that? Why did that person seem like they get to do whatever they want? And this person doesn't. And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" Jesus said, "Stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane." And then what did he say? He said, "Follow me." Again, he says, "Follow me." There's always this little rubbing back and forth. The disciples loved each other. As a disciple, there always was kind of some friction. Now, I will tell you, when they go into the book of Acts, we see the coming, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on, and that rubbing stuff, I don't see much of it at all. Because they grew up in their walk with the Lord, they're the Holy Spirit. They're following Jesus. But he says, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that of you?" And so we see this part here that there's still a little rubbing. This piece here is about Jesus restoring Peter's ministry. And Peter was the leader. So who else was he restoring as well? He was restoring the other disciples as well. This is about that part there, about restoring the Lord restoring us. Now, I told you in the beginning of the ministry of New Life that there was a moment there, a couple of moments that I was struggling with where I just felt like I had to go back. I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel good about myself. I didn't feel good about the church. I was questioning everything. And then there were a couple of more times in the church where these things kind of popped up from here, and another one popped up over there. And then I go to a pastor's breakfast, and once a month I'll try to make it. I don't make it every time. And that's where pastors are supposed to strengthen one another, right? To encourage one another. Iron sharpens iron. I shared one little piece with them, the group that was there, and then I began to, when they used to meet over there at Bob Evans in Coventry, I believe it was Coventry, I come walking in, and one of the pastors said, "Oh, here comes the Holy Roller." Holy Roller, what are you talking about? And I put my smile on my face. "Hey guys, what's up, what's up? Man, that's not, you're the Holy Roller." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, you know, you kind of shared some things there, and basically I was talking about, hey, you know, in our church we do, on Wednesday nights, we do prayer and testimony time. Talked about a couple of things, and some spiritual warfare, not in depth," and he assumed I was a Holy Roller for that, I guess. The conversation was like you were kind of being ousted out of the conversation, and I want to tell you, when I walked away there, I was more defeated than I walked in. I almost wanted just to say, "I'm done with this whole association stuff. I'm done with it." But here's the thing. As I begin to go away, the Lord just continues to work on my heart. And then you get a phone call from another pastor from another place. "Hey, man, what's going on?" And it's just the Lord using another person to encourage as you begin to feel like, wow, I'm a loser, and those kind of things. And, you know, I've heard it. In Fort Wayne again, and just somebody kind of knocked our ministries a little bit and said, "What's the church doing those things for?" and those kind of things. And I was like, "Man, why would somebody say that? I mean, we're trying to do what we're going to try to do." Listen, sometimes pastors can be awesome, and sometimes they can be jerks. I'm just being honest. They can be jerks, holier than thou's and that, but not all of them. And what was amazing was that God spoke again, and it wasn't just a moment there that, At our annual meeting, which was, if you've ever been to Wayndale, it was packed house, and they asked me to speak, and not to preach, but to speak and testify to what God has done here. And I never knew it. They had a light up there, but I tell you, when it's red, you're supposed to stop. And you don't tell a preacher to stop. That's why I have a clock there. To stop. I didn't see the red. So that red button, the red light came on. I didn't know it. I went 20 minutes. I was bragging on God and the church. "Hey, I'm going to do that." And I tell you, I was very intimidated. And there was a moment that came over me and said, "There's a doctor. There's a doctor. There's a doctor. And there's a doctor. There's a theologian. That's a university professor, a biblical professor. There's another theologian." I was like, "Holy cow." And it just came out of my mouth. "I'm the most uneducated person in the house today." And I said, "Oh, what an idiot." I looked over at my father. My father goes like this. You that know him went like this. He was honest. But I just wanted to turn around and run. Got off the stage. It was done. They took their break. Somebody walked by and said, "Dude, you were supposed to have been done 20 minutes ago. You only had 5 minutes. I was like, "What?" But the state director came over and went like this. I was like, "Oh, my gosh." And then he turned around. He looked at three other people in that group, his team, and he says, "This is what we want more of right here. Boasting on Jesus and what Jesus does in the church. Now, Jimmy, come over here. Don't you ever say that again." "What?" "Don't you ever say you're the most uneducated person in the room." Holy Spirit's educating you right now. He educated us through you today. That's my moment on the boat as a pastor, where I just thought, you know what? I'm the biggest loser in the house, but you're not. And I could feel the Lord just say, keep feeding my people. Keep tending my lambs. And tend my sheep. Now, I know I'm not the only one in the house like that. Sometimes it can be like I've missed a bunch of Sundays and I feel like a bad person, whatever it is. The Lord convicts the way the Lord convicts. I can't help the way the Holy Spirit convicts, but I'm thankful for His conviction. Although I don't always like His conviction. Amen? But what we're going to do this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity today. So maybe Jesus says, it's time for me and you to restore this thing together. You know what I love about the restoration of Jesus? He never looks at your past. He's looking at you right where you are today. And today you're in the house of God. And you can get out of your boat, get out of your seat. You can jump in that water and take a walk to the shoreline. Say a couple words to Jesus and be quiet in your prayer and let Him speak back. You'll hear Him. You'll hear Him. Father, as we get ready to take this moment, may you be pleased in the Spirit with each person here today. Whatever needs to be done, may it be your will this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead.